Well, please take your Bibles and turn back to the Gospel of John in chapter 7, John's Gospel chapter 7, and we'll consider, God willing, this evening to the end of this chapter from verse 32, as we read just a few moments ago. Just a brief reminder, really, that the events of chapter 7 all take place during the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. We read about that a little earlier on in the chapter. This feast, this great festival was, and indeed still is, a major event in the Jewish calendar. It's celebrated on the 15th day of the 7th month, which is Tishri, which generally falls in late September or October in our calendar. And the festival itself has a double significance. First of all, it marks the end of the harvest time, the gathering in of the harvest from the fields at the end of the agricultural year. But also, secondly, it remembers and commemorates the exodus from Egypt and the dependence of the people of Israel on the will of God. The whole thing spans over 8 days from one Sabbath to another, beginning and ending on these special Sabbath days with a great feast. According to the law, the people were to spend that time living in tents. These kind of tents were used by the farmers in the field during the time when they were bringing the harvest in, but also as a reminder, of course, of the time that the entire nation spent living and dwelling in tents during the period of wilderness wanderings following the exodus from Egypt. The festival, as I said, I think maybe last week or possibly even the week before when we were looking at this chapter, is one of three times each year, three pilgrimages on which the people of Israel are encouraged to make a journey to Jerusalem to celebrate that festival. And there would be a great gathering of Israel in Jerusalem. And each of the days there are various tasks to be carried out and different offerings to be offered in the temple on each of those 8 days. And it's this festival for which Jesus went up to Jerusalem for. That all of the events in chapter 7 take place during this festival, and the celebrations around it. Indeed, the words that we've read this evening from verse 32, it explicitly tells us that it's the right at the very end. Verse 37 tells us these things took place on the last day of the feast, and that makes sense in the context of what he said. If everybody is sat around having a great feast and he comes and says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. If they're all surrounded by good food and good drink, it sort of plays into that context of what Jesus is speaking about, and we'll look at those things in a few moments when we get to them. But in our passage this evening, Jesus, the Son of God, he rebukes his enemies with a dire warning. He makes an appeal that anyone who thirsts may come to him and drink. But sadly, many of the Jews, particularly those in the ruling classes, the Pharisees, remain divided over him, remain afar from him. And even those in the crowd are divided in their opinion about him as his enemies plot his downfall and they plot against him. Psalm 70, which we read, speaks to some of these things. This Psalm of David, a psalm that David writes in the title to it, simply to bring to remembrance, where he says, make haste, O God, deliver me, make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded who seek my life. Let them be turned back and confused who desire my heart. And indeed, that is what seems to happen. In verse 32 of John's Gospel chapter 7 that we read. The Pharisees send officers to take him, and yet, as we read, that they are unable to do so. Despite the words of the Pharisees, despite the orders that they have, the officers come back to them in verse 46 and say, "No man ever spoke like this man." And they were unable to take him. It's something we were considering last time a little bit, about the time before when we were looking at the beginning of this chapter, and considering the time of Jesus' ministry, and the way that he knew that it wasn't yet his time. Even as he travelled up to Jerusalem this time, he knew that it wasn't the last time that he would go there. There was still work for him to do. And so, as we look into this passage this evening, I'm going to begin by looking at verses 33 and 34, our Lord's words here, where he speaks to the crowd and says to them, and particularly to the Pharisees, "I shall be with you a little while longer, and then I go to him who sent me. You will seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come." Some very somber words of the Lord Jesus Christ in those verses. Almost, not quite, but almost the opposite of what we were considering this morning from Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6, where God himself, where we get these words from the Lord by the prophet Isaiah: "Seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near." And then here we have the Lord Jesus saying, "You will seek me and not find me." And so in a sense there is something here of that dire warning which is implied in that verse in Isaiah 55. Jesus here is fast approaching the time of his death. He's fast approaching the greatest trial and work of his incarnation and his ministry. And though he was surrounded by enemies, those who sought his death, those with sinister intents, note in these verses how he speaks of of his earthly walk coming to an end. Not with lament and not with pity, but with a great concern over the judgments that will fall on his enemies. He showed the same compassion, didn't he, from the cross, as he hung there in agony and torment and cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, with the benefit of hindsight, as we read these words, we know what the Lord is referring to when he said he was going to him who sent him. We knew what he meant, we know what he meant by that, but they didn't understand. But neither did they seek any help from him in understanding. They didn't want to understand him. That is clear from their rejection of him later in the passage. They just spoke among themselves. They reasoned among themselves. They wondered where he would go. They wondered what he meant. Now, some things in the scriptures are difficult to understand. But all that God's word tells us is important. In one way or another, and at one time or another, all of it is relevant to us now, today, and therefore should be diligently inquired into. We were thinking this morning about seeking the Lord, and indeed when we come to the scriptures, that's what we must do. We must seek him. We must seek his help with understanding it, the help of the Holy Spirit. But these Jews who listened to him had no desire in their hearts to understand what he meant. There is such benefits to understanding God's word. There is such joy and such hope which lies within the scriptures that we would be fools to let it pass us by. As many of these men who heard him on that day, all that time ago, did. It's a great sadness and a great sorrow with which Jesus says these words, "I shall be with you a little while longer, then I go to him who sent me. You will seek me and not find me. And where I am, you cannot come." What a dire warning and judgment on those Pharisees, on the Jews, declaring to them that soon it would be too late for them. Soon it would be too late for them to come and find him, no matter how hard they might search for him. Again, we read this morning about the parable our Lord told about the rich man and Lazarus. It was too late for that man. When he sought help, when he sought comfort, when he sought the Lord, it was too late. And indeed, very soon it would be too late for many of those who heard Jesus' word on that day. Our encouragement from Isaiah 55 and verse 6 this morning was to seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he is near, to not leave it too late. How sad it was that many of those who saw the Lord Jesus in person, who heard him speak, would fly right past their own deadline. And I mean that literally. For their deadline was their own life. It was going to be very soon too late for many of these people, because the end of their life was fast approaching. I wonder how many people in the world today think in those kind of terms about the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder how many people, when they think about all that God offers to them in the gospel, think about the sense of urgency. How many leave it till it's too late? And how many find that when they seek the Lord, he is not to be found? Each of us has a finite amount of time, a predetermined span of life in which to seek out the Lord while he may be found, in which to come to him in repentance and faith, in which to forsake our sins and our wickedness. And each day, with every passing minute, that time draws shorter. And one day, that narrow gate will close forever. What sadness and what sorrow did our Lord know when he spoke about these things? How hard was it to say to his own people, "You will seek me and not find me"? Such sorrow, such pain. Searching for a passage here. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 28. "Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me." There is a judgment coming. There is a day coming when each and every one, every human being, man, woman and child, will stand before the Lord. And one day it will be too late. It will be too late. And many will come in those days to seek the Lord and find the door shut. But while that door is still open, while the throne of grace is open to us, let us be diligent in making certain of our interest in Christ today. Let us seek him today with all of our heart. Let us come before him in repentance over our sin, for our sin will drag us to hell if we leave it too late. How heavy do those words sit? You will seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. Those words are to those who will not come to him now. Those words are to those who leave it too late. It is not too late today, if you are hearing this. It is not too late for you today. Come to him today in repentance. Forsake your sins. And receive the forgiveness and the righteousness and the joy of the gospel in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, that very offer of the gospel is expressed by our Lord in his next words in this passage in verses 37 and 38. If anyone thirsts, he says, come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. What a contrast with what he warns about. What a contrast with his heavy words in verse 34. It's reminiscent of something he said back in chapter 4 and verses 13 and 14 when he was with the Samaritan woman at the well. Whoever drinks this water, he said, will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst. But the water I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. There are three things here I want to draw your attention to in these verses. First of all, there is a recognition. A recognition of a need. A recognition of a thirst. I don't know, have you ever been thirsty? I'm not talking about just needing a drink. But have you ever been so thirsty as to be parched? To be working in the sun all day? To have gone without water for a period of time. The body craves water. We need water to live, don't we? We can last longer, far longer without food than we can without water. We need it. And there's a recognition of need here. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Do we realise that need? Do we realise our desperate, desperate situation? Do we realise how dire the situation in our natural state, in our sinful state, is before God? That's really the sense of what our Lord's driving at here in these verses. How desperate are we? How desperate are we in our sin? Do we realise our needs? Do we realise that our sin will drag us to hell? And one day, And God forbid it happens to anybody here. God forbid it happens to anybody hearing this. That we will seek, they will seek the Lord, that somebody will seek him and not find him because it will be too late. The Lord Jesus is coming back. He may come back any day. He may come back any hour. And then it will be too late. Your life may be required of you this very day, and then it will be too late. Do you realize how desperate that need is? If anyone thirsts, says the Lord Jesus, let him come to me and drink. And all the satisfaction of getting a drink when you so badly need one. Just a sip of water. And yet the Lord Jesus offers abundance. Let him come to me and drink. That's the second thing. There's an offer of satisfaction. There's a recognition of need. There's an offer of satisfaction. To come and to drink. To receive what it is we need. To receive the forgiveness in Christ. To know the grace and the mercy that is there for us. The abundant forgiveness. The abundant pardon that is in Christ. For those who will come to him and drink. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Forsake your sinful ways. And come to the Lord. There is a promise here as well. A promise of abundance. A promise of rivers of living water. A promise held out to those who believe by faith in Christ. To those who will believe that our spiritual thirst, our desperate needs will be satisfied in him. But beyond that, abundantly beyond that, so that out of our own soul will flow those rivers of living water. That water might flow to those around us. And that they would know that taste, that satisfaction, that life-giving water that comes from him. In Ezekiel chapter 47, Ezekiel's shown a vision of a stream of water flowing out from underneath the door of the temple. And it flowed from the altar, where the point of sacrifice, the point where the blood was spilled. Outflowed water from this. Water that flowed, that began as a trickle and ended as a great torrent, so much so that Ezekiel couldn't stand in it. What a blessing we see in that picture. A blessing which flows to and through those who believe by faith in Christ. But a blessing that comes solely from him. He is the source. He is where it comes from. His glorious, wonderful, atoning sacrifice is the only place. That altar is the only place. The cross is the only place to which we can come and receive the blessing of sins forgiven. Of justification before God. It is his sacrifice which has paid the price for our sin. His sacrifice has redeemed and bought freedom and life for those who are in the clutches of sin and death. And that's exactly where you were. It's exactly where I was. Until I came to the Lord Jesus Christ, until I sought him, until I cast myself on his mercy by faith. That's exactly where we were. Where are you this evening? Are you in the clutches of sin and death? Are you staring at those words that the Lord Jesus says, "You will seek me and not find me"? Or will you come and find him? Will you come and seek him while he may be found? Will you call on him while he is near? The grace of God breaks forth, breaks through to undeserving sinners such as you and me. It redeems, it justifies, and it transforms. It brings life where there was death. But the stream which Ezekiel saw was not dammed up at the temple door, because the blessing and the satisfaction of having our sins forgiven does not stop with our own soul. It flows out. It flows out of those who are his. To the woman at the well in John 4, the Lord Jesus declared, "Whoever drinks of the water I will give him will never thirst, but that water I shall give will become a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life." Would you hide such a thing away from those you love? Would you hide such a thing away from them and let them face down those words that the Lord Jesus speaks? Or would you publish it abroad for the world to know? Would you do everything in your power for your fellow man to save people by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might know this living water? Peter and John in the Acts of the Apostles were charged and told by the religious leaders to stop speaking about Jesus. And what did they say? "We cannot but speak of the things we have seen and heard." May it be on our hearts today and tomorrow and every day afterwards, so long as the Lord spares us, to share the rivers of living water, the Spirit which God gives to each and every one of his people, each and every one who would come to him and believe in him. If you have received that Spirit, let it flow through you to those around you, to your fellow Christians, to your brothers and sisters, and to a world that so sorely needs to know about it before it is too late. We see the heart of many in the world in the last verses of this chapter, where we see Jesus being rejected. We see division among them. "Truly, this is the prophet," they say in verse 40. "This is the Christ." But some said, "Will the Christ come out of Galilee?" You see the confusion and the division among them. We see confusion and division out in the world. Rejection of Christ. Confusion about who he is. About what he says. About what he has done. The Pharisees make fun of him. They make light of the whole thing. When the people come to him, when the officers come to him and say, "No man had ever spoke like this man," they said, "Are you deceived as well? None of us have believed in him. And we know all about the law." That's the world's attitude. an attitude of arrogance, an attitude of superiority. What a sad day it will be when they seek him and when they cannot find him, because it will be too late. In verse 49, the Pharisees look at the crowds, consider the crowds that gather to hear Jesus, and call them cursed. And yet those who believe in him are the ones that have life. It is those that reject him who are cursed. It is those that reject him who face eternity without him. It is those who will not come to him, who will know an eternal thirst, an eternal pain, an eternal punishment for their sins. But if you will come to him, if you will seek him today, before it is too late, then you will know the satisfaction of that living water, of the forgiveness of God which is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and of the joy of the Holy Spirit which is poured out on believers. It is a solemn warning that one day it will be too late. So seek him today while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near, and know the salvation of your soul for the glory of God. Amen.